I'm going to ask some people to share something that they remember about their mothers, okay? And then I'm going to ask Brother John and Jerry to pray for the mothers of our assembly. I believe it's so important. And what an honor it is today to pay tribute to mothers. And, well, one thing we all have in common, definitely, is we had a mother. And I'm sure we loved our mothers. The first person I'm going to call on is, and you could just stand up where you are, speak out nice and loud, or if you want a mic, we can give you a mic, but it's going to be turned off after a few minutes. Linda McRae, would you share something, great memories about your mom? Wonderful. Beth, you're the third person in line, okay? Sharon's going to share just a few things about her mom. Please, Sharon, you can do it. Is there one favorite thing that when you think of your mom, it sort of stands out? Yes. Yes, and those little wild strawberries, yes, it took a lot of them. A lot. Men, we're coming to you, okay? And I'm going to pick on Peter next. No, you're not. You're number four, okay? And it's not your wife you're talking about. It's your mother. Okay. And then I'm going to... Yeah, Adam, I'll pick on you too, okay? So there. Okay, who's... Oh, Beth is next. Beth, and I know this is going to be hard, but I thought it'd be wonderful. Because you're not very... And you got to say something nice, Beth. You got to say something... That's all right. Excellent, excellent. Yes, and you know what? We don't do this enough in life. We do it after we pass away. And people, you know, then they have the nerve to say good things about us. No. No, I think it's good we talk about those things. And, okay, Peter, your mom, what stands out for you when you think of your mom? She was Irish, right? Excellent. Good. Adam. No, she... Amen. Amen. Oh, the value of praying mothers, eh? For all of us. Now, did I pick anybody else? Tina. Okay. Good. Over the past week, because it's Mother's Day, and I've been thinking about my mother a fair bit, and as you know, I'm from a family of 10, and you know, we're blessed, and it's only by the grace of God. We all know the Lord, but yes, my mom was a praying mom. My mom, she never preached. She was very quiet. I didn't get this from my mother, but she was very quiet, and... But mom, in a very quiet, loving way, would talk to us. And but anyway, her life was an example. My dad never came to know the Lord until he was in his 40s. And I remember him in his unsaved days. And my dad was a great father. I have to say that. But my mother spiritually, I contribute a lot to our family. Because of her and her praying for us as well. Okay, I'm going to ask the two gentlemen, pardon me? Oh, good, good. And you know something that in all of our lives. It's wonderful. We all can relate to a mother's love, or most of us. You've heard the saying, only a child that a mother could love. And I think we all, some of us, Adam, do you relate to that? I relate to that because my mom said that I was the most difficult one to raise. Now, I don't understand that because I don't ever remember doing anything wrong. Okay, two men. I'm going to first ask John to pray, and then I'm going to ask Jerry.
And we also thank you for our mothers who have been, in everybody's words here, a model that they could follow. And this thing has led them in a way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the mothers that are here. We thank you for the mothers that will be.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks, for sharing and gentlemen for praying. Now, this morning, I'm not going to particularly speak on mothers, but I'm going to talk about a woman in the Bible. She became a mother, but there's so many characteristics that are to be admired in her person as we look at it. Now, before I start, though, and we turn to the passage, we're going to have Jeopardy here for a moment, or maybe Family Feud, I don't know. No, let's not go to Family Feud. I have a question, and the question is, if I titled my message The Beauty and the Beast, or The Odd Couple, who would it be? Oh, no, I'm not talking in the church. I'm not talking about here this morning. I'm talking about in the Bible, Beauty and the Beast or The Odd Couple. And that's okay. You're not wrong, okay? You're not wrong. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And I believe today this message is one size fits all. It's good for the women, and it's also applicable for us men. And We'll look at this story. How many here know of someone whose name is Abigail? Outside of scripture. Okay, very good. I have my first cousin. He married a woman from out west, and her name is Abigail. But you don't hear it much today. Have you ever wondered with biblical names, a family, hear of a family, and I'm going to use some common names. For instance, it might be Caleb and say Jonah. You know, you wonder if those parents are of Christian background. But obviously, that's not always the case. But here we have a lady whose name is Abigail, and we're going to learn something about her this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 25. It says that, "Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. They buried him at his home in Ramah." Now, let's just stop here, because we're going to get the setting of chapter 25. Sometimes we're guilty when we're reading, especially, if we have a cross-reference and we go into a chapter, we don't always know the history, the background around it. It says that Samuel had died. That closed an era or a period of time, because Samuel, remember Samuel? Who was Samuel's mother? It was Hannah. And remember, Hannah was barren. And Peninnah, she bore children, and she made fun of Hannah because she bore children to Elkanah, but Hannah didn't. And we know the story of Samuel's life. God raised him up. What a miraculous story. We think at a very young age, he goes to the tabernacle, and there he's with the priest. Now, can you imagine taking your young child and just leaving him there? But God must have given him strength to do this. But anyway, Samuel became a prophet. And also at this time in history, Samuel dies, but he is anointed David. Well, first of all, he anointed Saul, then he anointed David. And where we are here in the story is Saul's hatred towards David. David was his musician, his arm bearer. He was a captain of his army, and he was a son-in-law. But when Saul saw that God's favor was on David, he became jealous. And also we need to know that the Spirit of the Lord left Samuel, and the Spirit of God came upon David. And David, in his own actions, as far as a military leader, he was very successful. Remember David when he obviously killed Goliath, what he did for Saul's daughter, killing the Philistines. But anyway, here we find that David is a fugitive. He's out, and it tells us here that David moved down to the desert of Maon. Now, he's there because Saul had been pursuing him. And we know there's different times that David could have killed Saul, but he refrained from doing so. But here David is in the desert of Maon, which is west of the Dead Sea, between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean, but closer to the Dead Sea. And he's there with his soldiers. And we find, as the scripture says here, that a certain man of Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. So here we have three characters, main characters in the story. We have David, we have Nabal, and we have Abigail. Now, how does this all unfold? Well, we know the story. Apparently, Nabal was not a nice guy. He was not a nice guy. Now, I don't like this story from the perspective that it sort of paints the man being ruthless and hard-hearted. And here in the midst of all of this, there is a beautiful woman, and she's intelligent. Now, what I say, I have to learn from the woman here, which is quite all right, and certainly not be like Nabal at all. Now, what it says is that his wife's name was Abigail. She was intelligent and beautiful, but her husband, who was a Calebite, now a Calebite was a descendant of Caleb. Remember Joshua and Caleb went into the land? Well, he was a descendant of Caleb. Obviously, he was not godly like Caleb was. Remember the 12 spies? And Caleb was one of the men who said, listen, let's go in and conquer the land. Let's take it. Because it's a land filled with milk and honey. Now, but it says that her husband was a Calebite. And now in my translation, he says, was surly and mean in his dealings. He was bad-tempered and unfriendly. I want to ask a question. Why would a beautiful, intelligent girl marry an idiot like that? I'm sure we've asked that question. I'm sure we've asked our wives that question. Why did you ever? Well, number one, it could have been an arranged marriage, right? Number two, guess what? People change. I've been in life long enough to know that people change. And in some instances, it gets so bad that, you know, and if it's the man who changes for the worst, the wife has to pull away because of the environment, the toxic environment she's in. Now, one of the things that I admire about Abigail here is we don't know why she married this man, but it seems that she was willing to live with him. Now, we don't know what kind of a relationship she had. She knew he was a wicked man. She knew he was a fool. But then so does your wife know that too. But what she was willing to live, it appears, in submission under him. Now, we got to move on quickly here because time is getting away. But we know what happens. David, he is down in the desert with his men, and Nabal has his men there, or a shepherd's there with a sheep. And there's two things that it says about him. It says that he was very rich. And if we go over to verse 36, he said he was very drunk. Okay. He was very rich. It tells of the livestock he had. And he was shearing sheep. And David heard about that. And at sheep shearing time, guess what? It was a very festive time. It was springtime. Yes, the wool had to come off those sheep. And so when he had all those men around helping, it was party time. Do we know? We know from the story. And also in my further readings, I found that many times even prostitutes were involved. It was a terrible time. Let's say a terrible time of festivity. Now, when David heard that, he thought he'd send 10 men. And so they would go and talk to Nabal because his soldiers had been kind to Nabal's shepherds. And they had not taken any of the sheep. They had protected them from wild beasts, I'm sure. But also what we don't realize is invaders. The Philistine invaders would move in and great numbers. And what would they do? Well, invaders are invaders. They would steal their livestock and move on. And so David's presence there gave protection to the shepherds. And so at this point in time, David's men needed some food. So David thought, you know what? I'm going to send some men to Nabal and see if he would, at this time of festivity, and remember, he's very rich. Now, You say, well, what does the matter? Well, can you imagine having 600 men? David had 600 men, foot soldiers, with him. Now, that's no little picnic lunch, is it? It tells us here what all that Abigail took. But so he must have been really rich for David to expect from his festivities that he could feed or bring some food for 600 men. Now, when they approached, David's men approached Nabal, what was the response? Well, we can see what the response here. We go down into verse 10. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is the son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to them, give to men coming from who knows where?" Now, Nabal knew that David was going to be the future king. His wife was certainly aware of that. But Nabal was a miser. Okay? Rather than, obviously, he wasn't thinking right here. And the consumption of whatever he was drinking had affected, I believe, partially affected his mind here. And so he actually spoke down about David. Now, David was God's anointed. David was going to be God's next king. And you know what? Nabal sort of, in his own prideful way, "You're just a runaway. You know, dear knows where you came from." And he belittles David. Now, here's where David went wrong, but God intervened. Now, we're going to come back to you ladies later, and we're going to list some things that it was admirable about the character of Abigail. But anyway, David, when Nabal poo-hooed him and said, "I'm not helping you," David got not only a little vexed, he told 400 of his men to grab their swords, and he was going to go down, and he was going to do the house of Nabal in. He was going to destroy them. Now, that wasn't a good day in David's life. I think he moved far too quickly, took it personally, but oh, praise God that God intervened. Now, I just want to stop there for a moment. Have you ever found in your life that sometimes we are not thinking right, but God graciously intervenes and in spite of us? So what happens is that when Nabal responded to David's servants, one of Nabal's servants came to Abigail and said to her, and we have it written right here. It says that one of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail, "David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, there were a wall around us. All the time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over," the servant said, "and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Now, you know what? His name means fool. And poor Nabal lived. Now, I don't know, maybe it was a nickname. It was given to him, fool. Now, couldn't you imagine, would you like to have a nickname, fool? I think I told you there was a guy back home. My brother was wild at giving nicknames for men that worked for him. And one guy's, his nickname was Hemorrhoids. That said it. Fool. You know what the Bible says about a fool? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He was actually a fool, not only how he responded to people, he responded to God. Because here he is, not being generous, to God's servant, his anointed one. No, my. Why should I give my stuff to David, as it were, or his men? So what do we have next? Is we have that it says, Abigail lost no time. Now, Abigail was a good woman. She was not only beautiful, she was intelligent, and you know what? She responded quickly. Jan and I have been involved now for over 2 months in an estate, and the schmozzle that is left is a result of procrastination. Letting it go, letting it go, letting, and it just keeps building up, building up. Hey, some people believe you leave for tomorrow what you could do today. That isn't the way it is, isn't it? We were always taught you do today. And, you know, rather than leaving it for tomorrow, don't put it off. And she was a wise woman in doing that. So what did she do? Wow, this tells me that she was a very strong person. Hey, I heard strong this morning. She was a very strong person because, and she knew her husband well. And look what the servant said about him. Complimentary, wasn't it? No. So what did she do? Very quickly, she responded, and she lost no time. Look at what she took with her. Now, I don't know if she had this in the pantry, but obviously, as quickly, and I don't know what the period of time was, it had to be quick because David and his men were coming, okay? So where she got all of this and how she got it, I don't know. But there's one thing we do know, that she did receive it, and listen to what it says. She took 200 loaves of bread. Now that's a lot of dough, isn't it? 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep. Now, we got to be, you know, that doesn't happen. It had to be at least a day. And I don't know how long she could take to, it would take to cook or do the baking. And then it goes on to say that she loads all this onto a donkey, on the donkeys. Then she told her servants, go on ahead, I'll follow you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. He wasn't fit for it. And so she wisely interceded for him. And notice what it says here. And as she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there was David and his men descending toward her. Now, let's just stop and get the picture. Okay? So Abigail, she gets a few things together. She's going to go to appease the David. Let's just get a picture here. These are warriors. David stated the mission he was on. Okay? And here they're coming with swords, ready to do battle, as it were, bring judgment upon the house of Nabal. These are warriors. They're tough men. That's why they're there. And here's this lady coming with the servants, and she's riding on a donkey. Now, one of the things we find is she's not only beautiful, she's not only intelligent, she's quick to do her task, she's also very, very brave because she's a strong woman. She's brave. She is going to defend her household. Now, let's see what happens. And so it says that, and as she came riding the donkey into the mountain ravine, there was David and his men descending, descending toward her, and she met them. David had just said, now, have you ever had that experience in your life? You say something, and then you're proven wrong just shortly after? David had just said, it's been useless all my watching over this fellow's property in the desert, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of who belongs to him. He was intense. He was going to do it. He was going to dismantle, as it were, the household of Nabal. Now, I love what's next. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey, and what did she do? She didn't mouth off to him. She didn't stand and say, David, this is a terrible, terrible act, terrible decision on your part. Look, you should know better. No, she didn't do that. What did she do? She humbled herself. She bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and she said, my Lord, let the blame be on me. Wow. Isn't that something? See, in humility, she was willing to take the blame. And it really wasn't her problem, but she knew that if she didn't intercede, they would be put to death. Then we go on down and it says, please let your servant speak to you. She just didn't speak. She bowed down before him. She says, okay, can I speak to you? And may my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is Fool. And folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I will not see the man, pardon me, I did not see the men my master sent. Now in verse 26, now since the Lord had kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my master, be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Now, isn't that interesting? She bows down. Obviously, we know that this woman is a godly woman. Nabal is an idiot, but here's a woman who is intelligent, who is a strong person, who is a brave person, who is a woman of action. She also knew the Lord. And what she says to David, knowing that God had anointed David, is that, you know, God has intervened here today. God has intervened for her and her household. God intervened. And you know, we need God's intervention in our lives. We need, in life, we need God to intervene in those difficult times. But we must trust him. We must trust him to do so. And I'm sure that you've lived through very difficult times and wondered, you know, we don't repay evil for evil. No, we repay good even though evil is shown to us. And that's kingdom living. Let's move on here. And so she goes on to say, and I'm going to skip down into verse 30, when the Lord has done for my master every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed of having avenged himself. And when the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant. David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. Isn't that wonderful? God had sent Abigail to David to intercede. And may you be blessed for your good judgment, a woman of good judgment, and for keeping me from bloodshed this day. and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, no one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive today. Now, and the rest of the story, she goes home, she waits, she sees that Nabal is very drunk. She waits till he sobers up the next day, and she tells him, wow, she didn't have to bawl him out. God did. Even to the point where it says here that it says that he's in high spirits and very drunk, so she told him nothing until daybreak. Then the morning when Nabal was sober and his wife told him all these things, his heart failed him and he became like a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Wow. Yes, we don't bring evil. We bring good. And we see in the life of Abigail how she was willing to come and, as it were, intercede for the family. And as a result of all this, we didn't get to it, David ends up marrying Abigail. She becomes the queen. So what can we learn from Abigail today? Her name means, and I never have missed it, a father's delight. Maybe because she was beautiful. Maybe she was one of these perfect girls like we have here in the front row. Always honoring their parents. Now, she was beautiful. But let me stop here. Man, sometimes we look at the container and fail to look at the content. Get the idea? Yeah, not all beautiful women are of good character. What are they like? And one of the things that, even though that it was mentioned in the scripture, she was very beautiful, but you know, her real beauty and her real riches was the kind of person she was. And that speaks for all of us here today. You know, a good name is rather to be chosen than what? Great riches, yes. And so as a child of the King today, let us live honoring the Lord and also honoring those that we come in contact with in our lives and even in those difficult situations. And we happen to find quite a few of those. But just today, what we can learn from Abigail as we move forward in our lives, shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for the design, and you are the architect of marriage. Lord, we want to thank you that you saw that Adam needed a helpmate. And Father, in creating Eve, and how we want to thank you for the female gender and the purpose for to have male and female, and Lord, the important role that women play in our society. And Father, play within the role they play or have within the home, and even the role in the local church, the role in the community. And Lord, I just want to thank you for every mother here today, and Lord, those that wish to be. And just pray that, Lord, to be a woman, and Lord, to the calling is so high on our lives. The significance is beyond comprehension. To think that the ability and the giftedness that they have to form and mold the life that is formed within them. We just want to thank you today for godly mothers. And Lord, the awesome responsibility. And Lord, that does not negate the father's responsibility when it comes to spiritual things. But oh, we just thank you for the godly mothers of this church, as we've already prayed for. And we just lift them up to you. And Lord, I just ask that you would be glorified through our families and as we trust you. And Lord, to work in our children's lives that they might not only trust you, but Lord, serve you with all their heart. Bless each family here today. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.